I think. So, if you will, please turn to Luke 11. Please turn to Luke 11. Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity. It is a very wonderful thing to be able to share a truth that God has given you specifically. To say that I know what exactly it is I'm talking about, I would be lying. I am learning this. That's getting into the message here. So I just want to kind of give you an idea on how this is going to be going. My name's Andrew Seifert. If you don't know that, I'm not a brother Bob Gray. I'm not a brother Jenkins. I'm none of those guys, okay? I'm just Andrew Seifert. I just ask that you just let me be me. I'm going to try to be me, but I'm going to try to be led by God. How many of you like to go on trips?
I do.
That's good. I'm glad to see some hands, right? Because I was nervous. I was going to see shoes coming at me or something. Maybe a journey, perhaps. We will have a beginning point. I promise that there is a beginning point. And after a few miles, maybe a few hours, a few turns, maybe a rest stop or two, hopefully we'll arrive at the intended destination. If you haven't reached Luke 11, you're going to miss your beginning point. If you will, please stand for the reading of God's word. Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for the opportunity to bring the truth that you've given me. I just ask that you just guide me. Guide my words, keep me on track. Please let this be encouragement to someone who may be listening. I ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry. I was thinking I was down there. Sorry. Just automatically you sit down. I'm sorry. All right. So what is prayer? What is prayer? This is a question I had several weeks ago. And many of you that's been in pastor Sunday school class, you've heard me the last 2 weeks. Starting the series on prayer. What is prayer? Hopefully you come back the next couple weeks and you'll get the rest of it. And I kind of condensed everything for this particular opportunity that Pastor asked me to share. Oh, that's going to fall over. That's going to be bad. Pardon that. So this is a condensed version of all that. I left out a lot of the fluff and I brought in more truth. This is tailored specifically for us as a church body. It's not a 5 minute, boom. So mm-hmm. I kind of had more room. So it's like, woo, that's good.
Yeah.
So like I said, I had this question several weeks ago when I was reading this particular passage. Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass as he, that is Jesus, was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased from praying, the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. So growing up in a church where everything started with prayer, everything ended with prayer, and wouldn't you know it, they had multiple prayer services in between, all right? And given the fact that at this time I had not just the Sunday school lesson or the series that I'm having, the handfuls of purpose, but I have on multiple different occasions had those lessons on prayer, I thought I knew what prayer was. I really did. I truly did, you know, being raised in church. So I decided, you know, just for the sake of this particular, you know, lesson, or for my, not the lesson, this is before the lesson, I decided I was going to check Noah Webster just to see how truly smart I was. So, Noah Webster in his 1828 dictionary has prayer listed as this. Prayer, it's a noun. In general sense, the act of asking for a favor, and particularly with earnestness. Number one, in worship, a solemn address to the supreme being consisting of adoration or an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfection, confession of our sins, supplications for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, and thanksgivings, or an expression of gratitude for God for his mercies and benefits. Though I might have had an accurate idea on where prayer was, while I continued to study to see what the Bible said what prayer was, I quickly realized how wrong I was in that assumption. You see, prayer in a Christian's life refers to us communicating with our Savior. So again, do we truly know what it means to pray? Is this why the disciples in Luke 11, verse 1, asked Jesus to teach them how to pray? You see, they had watched him perform hundreds of miracles. They had listened to him preach and teach to thousands. But yet, after listening to him pray, they do not ask to be taught to perform the miracles he did. They didn't ask to be taught how to preach and teach, but instead they asked to be taught on how to pray. First of all, we need to realize the importance of prayer in our life, the life of a believer in Christ. Apostle Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, admonished Timothy, if you will, turn to 1 Timothy 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Timothy. First Timothy. Oh, I'm sorry. I believe that's 2 Timothy. Nope, it's 1 Timothy.
He really is cold.
You know what? It's a good passage if you turn over there. 2 verse 1. Yes, it's 2 verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Not first, or not second, not third, but first. First of all. King David in Psalm 63, verse 1, understood the importance of seeking God and his guidance and wisdom as early as possible. This is what he said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee as a dry and thirsty land where no water is. It was interesting. Pastor was talking about me calling him about how God talked to me. It was early in the morning. I woke up 5 o'clock exactly. I was on my phone scrolling. God talked to me. Andrew, that's not what I got you up for. And because I listened to that, and I heeded his beckoning, his direction, I wound up getting up, going outside, candlelight. You know, that was a real romantic time with me and the Lord. Honestly, it was. It was beautiful. Opening up my Bible to Isaiah 63, reading out through there, called you to preach. It's amazing. That early time, not just in the Word, but in prayer. This year is a very interesting article I came across studying early morning sunlight exposure, right? An article published by Aura, I believe I'm pronouncing that right. It's an O with the line over it. I don't know how you pronounce it. O-U-R-A, like our, Aura, I'm not sure. Okay? So hopefully they don't sue me or something like that. But anyhow, it's an article that was published, and it's titled Sleep, the Benefits of Morning Sunlight, and How to Make It a Habit. That's a great thing, right? But this is what it says about that. It says, intentional sunlight exposure in the first 30 to 60 minutes after waking up has been shown to increase alertness, boost mood, lower stress, and improve sleep quality. How many of us, like I was, still trying to break the habit, first thing when we wake up, scrolling, trying to see what else went sideways in the world that particular day? You know, there's always something that goes sideways, I tell you. Maybe you're one of those type of people who try to get yourself in the mood for the day, and so you put your ear pods in first thing in the morning, and you go to your favorite, early morning playlist. You know, you got to create that vibe, that energy you need for that particular day. Why aren't we getting some early morning sunlight exposure with God?
It's good.
I'm telling you, this is hitting me hard. It's important. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks be made for all men. Like what David said, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. You know, there's a statement. This isn't in my notes, but I've heard it. How many of you have heard it? You know you've heard it. I know you have. Early bird gets the worm, right? God wants us to be fed. The only way we're going to get fed is getting in his word, seeking his face, and praying.
Yes, sir.
That's what the whole sermon is about, is prayer. Prayer, getting to it. Prayer should be the relaying of information. Our everyday occurrences, our decisions, our problems, our worries, our intimate details, things we don't even share with our spouse, those things that are really, truly bothering us. You know what it is. God knows what it is, but he wants you to communicate that with him. He wants you to communicate that to him. Mm-hmm. It's that skipped a whole line. All those things, decisions, problems, worries, intimate details, you name it, that should be communicated to God. Prayer is very much like the communication line during the time of war. Now, how important is the communication between the front lines and the headquarters? Anyone know? It's not important, right? You guys can talk. All right, I'm not that special. You guys can talk. All right, just don't. Boo. It's important. It's important. How important is it? History shows us of the countless battles, the plans and ambitions gone askew due to the plans not making it to the intended party.
Right.
How many times? A lot. Telegraph lines cut and being torn down. Messengers captured or killed. Even carrier pigeons being shot down and almost wiped completely out of extinction for fear of them delivering important and necessary information to the intended party. That's how important communication is in a time of war. Wouldn't you know it? What does the Bible say? We are in a war. We are in a battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes, sir.
Our communication is vital. I'm getting ahead of myself here too, but it's good. It's good stuff. And so prayer equals communicating our needs and wishes to our Lord. Prayer is vital. Like I said earlier, and I'm going to say it again, prayer is vital.
Yes, sir.
All caps. V-I-T-A-L, to the life of any Christian. It doesn't matter if you're a new Christian, a baby Christian. It doesn't matter if you're an old Christian in a nursing home. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's vital. Matthew 14:23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up, a great while yet before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Luke 5:16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh. I really hope you guys just understand that. Being raised in church, you just take it for granted. He was God in the flesh.
Amazing.
He had and suffered the same things we suffered. He was tempted like as us, yet without sin. He prayed early in the morning as well as late into the night. He prayed both before and after the great events of his ministry. And he made time to pray, get this, even when life was unusually busy and hectic. Sound familiar? I don't know if you tried to raise five kids, but it gets hectic. That's why I work it. Away from home. No, that's bad. You know, I get my vacation time in. That's bad. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Honestly, I shouldn't. This is a serious matter. Jesus himself needed time to prepare. Why are we in this illusion that we do not need to seek time for prayer? We as Christians need to realize that we are not utilizing the one tool in our toolbox that we absolutely need and our daily walk with him. I'll just use you for an example, Brother Keith. What is it that you do exactly for a living?
So basically repair anything and everything in the hospital.
You repair anything and anything in the hospital. Sounds good. I take it you probably have one specific tool you absolutely need to perform that job, correct?
Got a pretty good bit of
money. Yeah, what's one you could not do without? Tool bag?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably multimeters.
Okay, the multimeter, right? Is that what you said? Brother John, plumbing. What's one particular tool you absolutely need?
Level.
Level? Hmm. I used you in class, Brother Ed.
Screwdriver.
Nah, that's not what you said. He gave me some type of OBD2 adapter or something. That's what I said. He gave me some type of tester. I don't know what it is. I couldn't pronounce it. But it's like high-class stuff to be able to figure out what's working.
Through fiber optics.
See, yeah, through fiber optics. See, if you need fiber optic stuff, it's him, not me, all right? I'm just the gopher. It's usually what they call me at the jobs. Go for this, go for that, if you didn't get that, all right? So, Brother Keith, if you had to use his tool, would you have any idea on what to do, how to use it? No?
Sure.
Man, that's a bummer. Okay. You probably have to use a level at some point, so it's whatever. But I hope you guys kind of get the gist here. I really didn't plan that one out. It was Brother Caleb back there. He had a laptop. So, you know, he wouldn't be able to use this OBD2 adapter thingy as well as Brother Ed, you know. So here's what I'm getting at, okay? Hopefully you guys are awake. Why is it, if these people have this specific tool that they absolutely need to be able to perform their everyday job, why is it that we as Christians seem to neglect the one thing that we absolutely need in our Christian living? And that tool, my friends, is prayer. Why is it in the bottom of our toolbox collecting dust? Again, that's a big ouch for me. Brother Andrew, what is prayer? Well, we can find that answer in Matthew 7. Turn to Matthew 7. You really can hear the pages turn up here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hear him from down there, I'll tell you that. I can barely hear myself turn the page sometimes. That's the benefits of being half deaf, I guess. So, Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. See that? Asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Prayer is asking. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God.
Yeah.
You see, yes, prayer sir. Is asking. Psalm 37, verse 4. King David penned these words. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You see, prayer is asking. Matthew 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. You see, prayer is asking. John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Prayer is asking. So let's look again at Matthew 7, and we're going to start again at verse 7, and we're going to go through a little bit more. It says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. This is the part here. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? No. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that, last two words,
ask him.
Mm-hmm. You see, prayer is asking. God wants us to pray. He wants us to talk to him. God wants an open communication with him. Listen to these promises from God. It's almost as if he's enticing us to talk to him. Or better yet, another biblical word, beseeching us to talk to him. Psalm 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. What an awesome promise. Jeremiah 33, 3. How many know that? Jeremiah 33, 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Matthew 21, 22. In all these things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. John 15, 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hear those wonderful, amazing promises of God. And there's many more. There's many more.
Yes, sir.
We're not scratching the surface of the examples of prayer, the examples of promises that God has given in the Bible. God wants us to pray for him and ask for specific things. If you do not ask God, I mean seek his face about these issues, truly knocking on the door of the throne of grace, how in the world? I hope I'm getting that attitude across. How in the world are we expecting to get our prayers answered? James was led of God to write this to the church. Turn to James 4:2. Hebrews, James, I do know that much. I've had to flip there a lot in my studies. And then Peter. If you get to 1st or 2nd Peter, you've gone too far. James chapter 4, verse 2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not.
Yes, sir.
How many of you guys go grocery shopping? Or ladies go grocery shopping? You make a list? Why?
So you don't buy the whole store.
You're going hungry, brother, and I've done that mistake.
That's valid.
What, anyone gone Christmas shopping?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right? What do? You make a list, right? It's important. It's important. Why aren't we making lists when we pray? Mm-hmm. How many of you ever prayed for something and then was surprised when it happened? Mm-hmm. Came through?
Yes, sir.
Right? Oh, you have little faith.
That's right.
That just shows you how much God loves you, how much he loves us. Bunch of knuckleheads is what we are, right? I absolutely love that story, that account. You know, the new church, they're praying, all night prayer meeting. Peter gets walked out by an angel. He gets walked out of prison. Just that whole account is just amazing. We were reading about that in our Sunday school lesson just a few weeks ago. It's an amazing account. Goes and knocks on the door. They didn't believe it was him. They went right back to praying, right? Here's something, and I hope I'm not out of context with this, Lord. Prayer, this is how important prayer was. When they prayed, the power of God came down. Gospel went out.
Right.
Persecutions came.
Yes, sir, they did.
Then they prayed some more. The power of God came down. The word of God went out. The persecution came.
Yes, sir.
When are we going to get back to praying? Well, the word went out. The people came in. The persecutions came. That's what it was. I'm sorry. I messed that up entirely. That's important. It doesn't matter. You still should be sending the word out regardless if people come in or not.
That's right.
But we really need to get back to praying. We have not because we ask not. Here's something else. Many pray. There's a whole bunch of people that don't ask. Let's look over at Matthew 6. I've already gone way farther time-wise than I thought I was going to. I had this under 30 minutes when I read it exactly, word for word, what I thought I was going to say. But I'm not apologizing. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when ye pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. I'll look that word up in Noah Webster. One that feigns to be what he is not. One who, this is an interesting definition. One who has a form of godliness without the power of godliness.
Yep.
Where does that show up? That's yes, Bible.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Or who assumes an appearance of piety and virtue when he is destitute of true religion. Definition number two, a dissembler, mm-hmm. One who assumes a false appearance. So let's start the whole verse all over again. Just blew my mind when I read that. I thought I knew what it was. I thought it was just a bunch of church people who pretended. That's me growing up in church. I hated church with a passion. And when I've been out soul winning and knocking on doors, you hear it all the time. I ain't going to church. A bunch of hypocrites. I mean, I got family members that talk like that. And then spit in a can or a whole bunch of obscene gestures and all that. You know, bless God and all that. Right? So, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. You should mark that. I mark it. Don't mark it because I marked it. You should mark it though. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And there's even another passage. I didn't look it up. I heard it in another sermon I was listening to. They even pray when there's trumpets. Like, they'll come out and they'll toot. You heard that? Oh, that guy's tooting his own horn. They literally had like a whole band come out. Oh, bless God and all this. There's an attitude with that. You know when someone's praying like that. I mean, you don't even have to be in church to recognize that.
That's right.
There's that smell, a taste, like what pastor does really good. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then he goes on, as if that wasn't enough. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. Now, hold on. First he's calling people hypocrites, and then he's calling us heathens. We're a bunch of heathens. Vain repetitions. Mm-hmm. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die, I fall asleep. You know? I'm not saying that's a bad prayer. It's a good prayer for kids to get used to praying before they go to bed. What, you know, how many people get called on to pray for Thanksgiving meal? Stand up and they're like, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Dang the skin, pull back ears and cram it in or something like that. All right? It's something goofy prayer. Right? Some of you guys act like you've never heard that before. No? Oh, well, come on. Should have went to some of the family reunions I went to. We might be related. Vain repetitions. And again, we'll get to that, the whole flavor of that. Be ye therefore, I'll skip the whole part here. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. They get up and they're using words they don't even use in their everyday life. Mm-hmm. Our most felicitous Heavenly Father. Like, oh my gosh. You know, it's some redneck down over the hill, you know. Has like a third grade education. He's talking, use big fancy words and everything. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye... There's his words again. Yep. Ask him. I am so glad. Yeah, I'm so glad Peter did not know how to pray like those guys. Like Jesus was just talking about. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what he might have sounded like the night Jesus walked out to him when they were out in the boat? Peter calls out to him, Lord, that's really you. Ask me to come out to you. Now here's something. Just pause the whole thing right here. Just think about this. Imagine if it wasn't God. Imagine if it wasn't Jesus. Hey, if that's really you. Here, come on out, buddy. No, but that's not what happened. Come on out. In a flash, Peter is over the side and he's on his way to Jesus. Then he sees the waves. Maybe the boat went airborne over him. I don't know. It's getting tossed all over the place. He begins to sink and he begins to pray, our most heavenly Father, creator of all. Master of this moonless light night, maker of this driving rain, and blah, 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 blah. I'm really glad I'm glad he didn't know how to pray. He just cried out, Lord, save me!
Exactly.
Lord, save me! Simple, direct, and to the point.
That's right.
We need to lose the fluff. I'm not saying you can't have all-night prayer meetings with simple, direct, and to-the-point prayers, but you can have all-night prayer meetings with simple, direct, and to-the-point prayers. You don't need an extensive vocabulary.
That's right.
God wants to hear, just like the song, God wants to hear you sing, God wants to hear you pray. He really wants to hear you pray. Okay, I use this as an illustration. In the handfuls of purpose, I believe it was handfuls of purpose. How many of you, how many men, let's see the men here. How many men like to go on dates with their wife? I'll put both hands up. Hi. Okay? Now, do this experiment. Go all week without talking to her. Go all week. Don't even look at her. Come in the house, like literally put the blinders on. She get a text, turn it off. Turn the phone off. Right? Then come Friday, she will really want to spend time with you. Right? Is that how that goes? What? I mean, she's been dying to talk to you all week, right? Why are you guys laughing at me? Isn't that what we're doing to Jesus most of the time? Like, we are literally shutting off all forms of communication with God throughout the week, months on end. And then something happens in our life, and we're like, oh man, I need to pray. Why can't I hear from God?
Yeah. That's right.
May I borrow your mom's statement? Well, I declare. I'm trying to be simple with you because this is truly what it is. It's simple. It's a simple message. And it's one that I have missed. I know how to pray. Why wasn't I?
That's where it comes down. Yes, sir.
Well, we know how to pray. Why aren't we? Prayer's asking. Another example of how not to pray versus how to pray is found in Luke 18. Verse 9. Oh, I already did that, I think. I just need to check my notes here. Luke 18. Yeah, I was in the wrong chapter. I was in Luke 11. Yeah, that's why. I was like, whoa. Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable just read what it says. Okay? Like, we don't know anyone like this. If you don't, pay attention. I'm saying this with all sincerity. It might be you. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Now, those are two separate statements describing people. Mm-hmm. They were self-righteous and despised others. Absolutely ugly person. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men are. Wow, just so full of himself here. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, look at what the publican's doing. He's standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Have you ever been there spiritually? Mm-hmm. But smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I think that's a definition of how not to pray versus how to pray.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Let's look at another one here. No, it's just that one. It is truly insane to think about how much easier it is to do wrong than right. How much easier it is to have a form of godliness. You know how to act. You know how to talk. even know how to dress. You ain't fooling no one but yourself. God can definitely see through that. Mm-hmm. I was that person. Don't kid yourself. My wife, when I first met her, when she first came to church, I thought we were in the same crowd. So I just let her know exactly who I was. It was ugly. And, you know, she, look at what she got, you know. Ugly. Why is it so much easier to have a form of godliness than the power of godliness? Oh, that we would get back to asking, because prayer is asking. God wants us to ask when we pray. I just used this illustration in our last handfuls of purpose. Gideon in his prayer regarding the fleece. That's a great account. Gideon, this no man, out in the field working. Angel comes and tells him, hey, God has picked you to deliver his people. What? Lord, if this is really you, I'm going to need some proof. See, I got this fleece. I need a big sign, like a neon flashing sign type sign from you. Like, I need the water around the fleece to be wet, and I need the fleece to be dry. I just need a sign from you, God. Wouldn't you know it? He woke up the next morning, the ground was wet and the fleece was dry. I might have these flipped out of order. That's okay. It's the same message. All right. You get the idea. You will get the idea. And he comes back. He's like, oh, that's great. That's awesome. But what if, like, the fleece is waterproof? Maybe that's why it didn't get wet. Lord, if this is really you, this is what you really want me to do, let the fleece be wet and let the ground be dry. And the next morning, he was able to wring, the Bible says, a whole bowl full of water out of the fleece. You see, he asked specific prayers. The blind man Bartimaeus, I love this guy. He's standing, he's actually sitting beside the road, filthy, absolutely filthy.
Right.
And he hears that this man named Jesus is coming by. And he knew about all these things people were talking about, what Jesus was doing. He starts calling out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Everyone tries to shut him up. Everyone's trying to shut him up. You're not going to get your prayers answered. Shut up. You're making too much noise. Jesus hears him, calls him to him. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, that I might receive my sight. Short, direct, to the point.
Yes, sir.
Jesus cast him aside and said, yeah, right. I got better things to do. Is that what he did? No. He healed him, and the man followed him in the way of rejoicing. You have the leper in Jesus. Another illustration, another example, biblical illustration of answers to prayer. Comes to him. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus reached out, touched him, answered his prayer. You see, prayer is asking. Matthew 15, let's just turn there real quick. Matthew 15. I told you there's going to be a couple turns and a couple pit stops, maybe even a couple gas station stops. Just no bathroom breaks. Matthew 15. You read down through here, you go down to verse 21, and you hear about this lady. A woman, verse 22, a woman of Canaan came out from the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. I want to tell you, that is not something you want. But he answered her not a word, ignored her. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. You see, this goes back to the asking seeking, the knocking. There's a word I'm trying to scroll for. Tenacious, is that right? Have some tenacity. Have some, oh, come on, help me, people.
Perseverance.
Perseverance, determination, a whole bunch of them. Pull out a thesaurus. There's, like, you need to get some. You need to get after it when you're praying. See, that's the, I almost picked up the wrong phone. We live in a day and age where you want an answer. Internet has spoiled us. Oh, that's what it is. I petition that we ban cell phones and have to go back to the libraries and all those index cards and, right?
Yeah.
Teach you, like, if you want something, you got to work for it and earn it. You got to work for it, right? And we expect God to be this internet browser. Instant. Boom. Answer. Boom. There it is. There it is. He's not some robot. He is not. He is much, much greater than that. So anyhow, let's go on. But he answered and said, I am, this is how he talks to her, but I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and she worshiped him again. She's coming again, saying, Lord, help me. She's asking, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Just slap a lady in the face, which do not do that. That's like the sharpness. But what you don't see is he's testing. He's testing her. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
Amen.
You're not getting the answer you've been praying for. You're just quitting praying. I wonder, truly wonder, how many answered prayers God has for us. He could have already poured out in our life, but we stopped when he didn't answer, when he didn't reply. Or we stopped when you got that sharp rebuke where he's just testing you. Brother Andrew, moving on to the next point. I prayed and nothing happened. You ever been there? I'm just talking about it. Nothing happened. I even prayed in Jesus' name. You're laughing. That means you heard that before. This statement has always caught my attention from the time I was just knee-high to a grasshopper in the church. And it did not make sense to me then, at that time, as to why the prayer wasn't answered. Because, after all, they prayed in Jesus' name. Right? Let's look at the verse and see what it says here. All right, let's look at John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall, what's that word?
Ask
in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, it's right there, Brother Andrew. Yeah, I gotta turn the page, but yeah, I'll just let that sink in. People take these verses and think it is somehow the secret magic sauce,
right.
The cherry on top, the secret formula to getting every prayer answered simply by asking for things in Jesus' name. You see, one must realize that praying in Jesus' name is ordering things in his name. And if what we are praying for is outside the scope of what he is already wanting for us, well, just kind of let me put it to you this way. All right? Now, I use Miss Jody as an illustration. You're not coming up front. I wouldn't do that to anyone. Okay. I value my life. I'm too young to die. Miss Jody, I am assuming you write the checks for the church, correct? Okay, awesome. I guessed that right. So, let me put it to you this way. Miss Jody, she writes the checks for the church in pastor's name. This goes towards bills, payrolls, and multiple other things that is already voted for by the church. That's on that budget list. Okay? Let's just say tomorrow, she's on her way home from work. She swings by Barnes & Nobles or something, and she sees this huge, magnificent sale on books. And in that bunch of books is some books she feels would be incredibly instrumental for pastor and his ministry here at the church. And so, she does what she does best. She writes out another check in pastor's name. You're not smiling. That I do not have wrote down. I thought you'd be laughing like, ha ha. I guarantee she's guaranteeing. Yeah, pastor's got that smile. He's guaranteeing that purchase would not be approved no matter how much this purchase might have, would have, could have been beneficial for the user. Why? Simple question. Why? It was outside the scope of what she was already allowed to order in his name. Okay? Kind of, are you seeing the parallels here? I'm trying to break it down simply. Okay? It's not that hard. I even prayed in Jesus' name. Well, what you're praying for is outside what Jesus is wanting for you.
Right. Yes, sir.
Is that simple?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Because I ran out of illustrations. The same is with praying in Jesus' name. Now, here are some things we are commanded, we are allowed to pray for. And there are others. If you want a better illustration on how to pray and what to pray for, look at what Jesus prayed for.
Yes, sir.
But here's two. You can turn to 1 Timothy 2:1-4. You could turn there. I'm just going to read. We are commanded to pray for our leaders or those in authority over us.
Sir.
That's 1 Timothy 2:1-4.
Yes, sir.
And in 2 Peter 3:9, we find that God is not willing that any should perish and that all should come to repentance.
Yes, sir.
So we know that we can pray without a shadow of doubt. We can pray for souls. I'm praying for this individual. Good. I don't know. You can pray for that. They have a choice. So do you. You can pray. What about the four men? This is not wrote down. I can show you my notes, but you wouldn't be able to read it from there. The four men that brought their friend that was sick of the palsy.
Yes, sir.
Right? Their faith, when he saw their faith.
That's right.
He healed them. What type of friend are you being? What type of friend am I being? We need to get back to praying. This brings me to the closing of this message on prayer. We know what prayer is. It is the communication between us and our Savior. We know that prayer is asking. I've given you scripture on that. We know of the many promises that God has given when we call on Him. And now, prayers asked, prayers prayed for, and prayers seemingly not being answered, or at least not the answer we want. You ever been there? I'm not seeing any heads wiggle, not a waggle, nothing. You prayed and you kind of got a direction like, nah, I shouldn't be praying this particular direction. Okay, move on. Here is an illustration on this. And this should be one of a stark reminder. It's a stark reminder on being careful in what you pray for. Balaam. Mm-hmm. That ring a bell? It's a prophet. A prophet. A preacher. Preacher man. Numbers chapter 22 through 31. Put that down. Write it down. Read that account. Yes, it's very sad. Very, very sad. He was asked to come curse the children of Israel 3 different times by a certain king, Balak. Yep. Each time he was approached, his response was, let me go find out what God has to say. So he went and he asked, God, I would really like to go. And God's like, absolutely not. Not going to happen. You would think that would have been the last time he had to ask God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That was no. In cap, it was all caps. Capital N, capital O. No. But they kept coming back with more gifts, more money,
yes, sir.
Promises of fame. You'll be a celebrity. We'll have your name on the billboards. Whatever. If they had billboards back then. We'll have your name on the side of the mountain. He kept coming back, and God finally said, what'd your mom say? She had a phrase, and it's against my better judgment. Or maybe it's like what your wife said. It's fine. I know I'm not the only one. I'm not. She doesn't say that. So, that was an inside joke. Many people did not get that. That's fine. God finally said, go, but you are only going to say the words I put in your mouth. Right? And on the way, we hear about this amazing account of the talking donkey.
Yes, sir.
Right? Why did the donkey talk? Why was the donkey acting the way it was? Because there was an angel of the Lord that was in the way that was going to kill him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he was. Prayed through on this one. I prayed through. God said I can do it. And then his greed for fame and wealth got the best of him. Even after he got there, he tried to put the curse on the children of Israel. I think he went up 2 or 3 times.